Ya el 2 de febrero tuvimos una reunión con los profesores en Juanes y García Sastre. Ese día ya liberamos medios, iniciamos cambios legales para reducir plazos culminados en el Real Decreto Ley de Estado de Alarma, donde hemos...
Ya tenemos cuatro industrias certificadas que son capaces de producir los tests que llamamos PCR, los más exactos, los que tardan una serie de horas en producirse, pero que son los que proporcionan la mayor fiabilidad al sistema de sanidad, porque la ciencia tiene que encontrar esta solución, pero la tiene que encontrar para todos. Probablemente antes de fin de abril tengamos un primer candidato a vacuna de nivel mundial hecho con el virus completo. Creo que tenemos un procedimiento enormemente rápido, con cero de burocracia, pero que hace el filtro de qué es lo que sirve para una unidad de cuidados intensivos o qué es lo que no sirve.
Durante esta semana están llegando los últimos, digamos, porciones del virus que están sintetizados desde otro laboratorio colaborador con ellos. Están haciendo ya las pruebas para eliminar toda esta... Entonces, como hemos dicho antes, las porciones más activas y más virulentas del virus para poder ir haciendo los pasos hasta crear la vacuna que están intentando desarrollar.
Partnered with a group at the New York Blood Center and the Galveston National Laboratory to take on the big scientific challenge of coronavirus vaccines. And I say a scientific challenge because one of the things that we're not hearing a lot about is the unique potential safety problem of coronavirus vaccines. Some of those kids who got the vaccine actually did worse. And I believe there were two deaths in the consequence of that study. Because what happens is you get immunized, and then when you get actually exposed to the virus, you get this kind of paradoxical immune enhancement phenomenon. When we started developing coronavirus vaccines, we noticed in laboratory animals that they started to show some of the same immune pathology that resembled what had happened 50 years earlier. So we said, oh my God, this is going to be problematic.
We're not investing enough in tried and true classical sort of methods, repurposing drugs and strategies that have already been shown to work. Most of our investment is in things which are sexy and new and patentable.
worries me. I mean, there now are people that are interested in making a vaccine. I hope we don't rush it through. I can't imagine there would be something ready for a phase three efficacy trial within 2 years. We don't really have any history of making a coronavirus vaccine. So how are we going to make it? Is it going to be an mRNA vaccine? Or is it going to be a DNA vaccine? Is it going to be a purified protein vaccine? Is it going to be a vectored vaccine? Nobody knows. Certainly the FDA has got to regulate this product, because right now everybody in the United States would probably take it in a second, even if it wasn't tested. Have the neutralizing antibodies and you have the binding antibodies. You want to make sure that the quantity of neutralizing antibodies that you have and the persistence of those antibodies is much greater than the binding antibodies, because the binding antibodies can be dangerous and cause something called antibody dependent enhancement. And we've seen that. I mean, we saw that with the dengue vaccine. But the dengue vaccine in children who'd never been exposed to dengue before actually made them worse when they were then exposed to the natural virus, much worse. Vaccinated children who were less than 9 years of age, who had never been exposed to dengue before, were more likely to die if they'd been vaccinated than if they hadn't been vaccinated.
Oh, wow.
We clearly need a vaccine that works in the upper age range, because they're most at risk of that. And doing that so that you amp it up so it works in older people and yet you don't have side effects. You know, if we have, you know, 1 in 10,000 side effects, that's, you know, way more, 700,000, you know, people who will suffer from that. Really understanding the safety at gigantic scale across all age ranges, you know, pregnant, male, female, undernourished, existing comorbidities, it's very, very hard. And that actual decision of, okay, let's go and give this vaccine to the entire world, governments will have to be involved, because there will be some risk and indemnification needed before that can be decided on.
And not playing doctor.
Because I want people to live, and I'm seeing people dying. And I've seen people that are going to die without it. And you know the expression, when that's happening, they should do it. What really do we have to lose? We also have, this medicine's been tested for many years for malaria and for lupus, so it's been out there. So it's a very strong, powerful medicine, but it doesn't kill people. We have some very good results and some very good tests. You've seen the same test that I had. In France, they had a very good test. They're continuing. But we don't have time to go and say, gee, let's take a couple of years and test it out, and let's go and test with the test tubes and the laboratories. We don't have time. I'd love to do that. But we have people dying today. As we speak, there are people dying. If it works, that'd be great. If it doesn't work, we know for many years, malaria, it's incredible what it's done for malaria. It's incredible what it's done for lupus. But it doesn't kill people. That's one of the things with a vaccine. When we have a vaccine, we have to do tests, because when you inject that vaccine, when they take whatever it is they have to take, we have to make sure it doesn't have a horrible impact. Destroy somebody could. So we have to test it for a long period of time. This one, not so much, because it's been out there. Now, I'm not acting as a doctor. I'm saying, do what you want. But there are some good signs. You've read the signs. I've read the signs. With the other one, there's some very good signs also. Different, going together works very well. But there may be an indication that if you have a problem with your heart, you shouldn't take what we call the Z-Pak. You shouldn't take it, and that's okay. But I would love to go to a laboratory and spend a couple of years testing something. We don't have time. We don't have 2 hours, because there are people dying right now. If it does help, great. If it doesn't help, we gave it a shot. We gave it a shot. That's the way I feel. You know, we passed something. Yeah, I would be very serious about taking it. We passed something that I'm very proud of. It's called Right to Try. For 45, 50 years, they've been trying. It makes so much sense. We have the greatest doctors and labs and lab technicians, greatest medicines, the greatest minds in the world. Everybody admits it. And when we're close to having something, or when we have something that tests incredibly well, you couldn't use it for years, because they would take years and years to test. So with the help of also Democrats, I got it bipartisan, but they've been trying to get this passed for decades, you know that. It's called Right to Try. So a person would be diagnosed terminally ill from something. And in the old days, meaning before a year ago, they would say, do you think I could try this pill, this whatever, this medicine that's testing so well? No, you can't do that. You can't do that under no circumstances. They'd leave for Asia. They'd leave for Europe. They'd leave for, if they had money. If they had no money, they'd go home and die with no hope. We got a thing called Right to Try. If somebody's very ill, terminally ill, they're going to die. And it was very complex. It wasn't as easy as it sounds, because there were huge liability problems. The drug companies didn't want to do it, because they didn't want it on test results, because these are very sick people, so they didn't want to bring down their test results. The insurance companies had tremendous problems. I got everybody in the room. I said, look, we'll sign a waiver. The person taking it will say, we're not going to sue. The family's not going to sue the drug company, not going to sue the insurance company, not going to sue the state, the city, or the federal government. Okay? It's called exculpation. And we got it done. It's a very simple agreement. I don't know why nobody ever thought of it, but they never thought of it. I did. And we got it done. Now we have Right to Try, which is actually, in my opinion, much more difficult than what we're talking about here. But if there's a medicine or something, a possible cure or something that's looking good, and somebody has something that's they're going to die or they're very sick, they take it. And you know, we've had some unbelievable results. Unbelievable results. And it also gives the people hope. Yes, please. Just saying, very simply, I'm not at all. I'm not. Look, you know what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to save lives.
You come out here every day, right, sir, talking about the benefits of
hydroxychloroquine. I want them to try it. And it may work and it may not work. But if it doesn't work, it's nothing lost by doing it, nothing. Because we know long-term what I want to save lives. And I don't want to be in a lab for the next year and a half as people are dying all over the place. It's a very special thing. Now, it may not work, in which case, hey, it didn't work. And it may work, in which case, it's going to save a lot of lives. Now, a lot of people say, If the people walking in prior to getting it, if they take it, it has a profound effect. Well, maybe it doesn't, maybe it doesn't. I don't want to wait a year and a half to find out.